Okay. It's always good to pray for the preacher and for the word that he's going to bring before he speaks. Now, instead of doing that myself today, now don't all rush at once. The first person to come and take this microphone gets the privilege of praying for our speaker today.
I'm a sprinter. Thank you, Lord, for Steve. Thank you, Lord, that you've anointed him to preach your word today. Thank you, you've put words in his heart, Lord. And I just pray that your spirit is heavy on his preach today, that people's hearts are changed, that people repent and turn back to you, Lord. May you take over, Lord. May you prompt Steve in his preaching today, that he hands it over to you, Lord. This is a celebration of you and what you've done today in our hearts, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Great to see you all and see some faces that I don't recognise. And it's wonderful to be able to join together and invite and welcome new people into our CLC family. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
So encouraging. And I just want to say to you guys, it's a thrill to welcome you. Welcome. Be welcomed as part of the CLC family. And I look forward to getting to know you and journeying with you in the years to come. It's great. And thank you to Stuart for sharing that word about the climber. And just and I really felt that was tied in beautifully with what I wanted to speak about this morning, which is about where are we drawing our help from? And where are we actually drawing strength from? Who are you depending upon to get you through life? And with the challenges that we face. So it was a great picture to kind of illustrate what I wanted to say. It's always good when God does that. So thank you for being willing to share that as well. So I want to talk about dependency. I want to talk about reliance. And I want to talk about the strange way that the kingdom of God works is that when we are weak, the Bible says that actually in our weakness, we can see the reality of God's power at work in our lives. And 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So I don't know if there's anybody that's feeling weak today. I don't know what you're being challenged with, what you're facing. But, you know, as I say, the way that the kingdom works is very different to the way that the world works. For instance, in terms of kind of getting rich, we think actually what we want to get rich, we're going to store all our money up and just put it in the bank and not be generous. But the Bible says that as we give, it will come back to us and that God blesses. Very different in God's economy, how things work. And, you know, I think the way to be strong is to be weak. Actually, to recognize our weakness and to be more reliant upon God to get us through, to help us. Just like that picture. Actually, what are we looking to? Who are we relying upon? Is it our own ability, our own wisdom, our own strength? Or actually, are we crying out to God and falling upon him and saying, God, I can't do it. And he says, thank goodness you've actually come to the point of recognizing that it's impossible for you to do anything on your own. But with God's help, in our weakness, his power is made perfect. Yeah. So guys, if you want to be strong, be weak. Be weak in yourself and have more and more and more reliance upon God. Press in to him. Yes. Go to him. Run to him. Cry out to him. Say, God, I'm weak, but I know that you're powerful. I'm weak, but I know that you can get me through. I'm weak, but I know that you can get me to that point that I need to be. Because the times that we just think we can do it on our own, guys, we're just going to keep struggling. But in our weakness, the Bible says, in our weakness, in that place of recognizing that we can't do anything, in our weakness, his power is made perfect. So if you want to be strong, get more reliant upon God. Press into him. Cry out to him for him to move upon
your life. So, you know, the great thing about being a Christian and pressing into God is that God can do what we cannot do. Isn't that? Thank God for that. God can do what we cannot do. And I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what challenges you're facing. I don't know what things that may be looming in the future. But God can do what you cannot do. So press into him. Press into him. Press into him more. Become weak so that God's power can be made more perfect, more dynamic in your life. And I want to just look at a well-known story in the Bible, the feeding of the 5,000. It's a great story. But often these stories aren't, there's something that God wants to teach. There's an amazing miracle, but actually there's more, I think, that God wants to, that God wanted to say, what God wanted to reveal. And I want to read this very well-known story, so don't switch off thinking, I've heard this before, I know what's going to happen. This is the word of God. It's powerful. It's exciting. You know, as we were worshipping and dancing and celebrating, I was thinking, yes, this is fantastic, you know, because the God that we worship is so incredible, so exciting, so amazing, the most important influence in our lives. This is what it's about, isn't it? To come together and to get round God's word and hear him speak and to celebrate and to dance and to worship and give him the worship that is due to him, and to come and bow down. And this is the God that we worship. And it's amazing that we can do that this morning. And I don't think it's over the top. I don't think it's too much. Actually, I don't think we gave him enough. Considering who he is. Considering who he is. And what is done. And what he continues to do. What is the measure and depth of his love and his grace and his goodness and his mercy and his compassion that he's shown to you. It's not too much. Yeah. It's not enough. For me, it's not enough. Wow. This God is incredible. Anyway, right. So let's read. I want to read this story. It's from Matthew 14, 13 to 21. Are you ready? Don't switch off. Listen to the words. Get excited. Marvel at what Jesus does. When Jesus had heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and he said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. "Take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish," and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. The disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were 5,000 men besides women and children. It's a well-known story. It's an incredible miracle. But what has God got to say to us today? What did he want to challenge the disciples with? And this is such an incredible miracle that happened that it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Such a significant an event that happened that that it was recorded in many of the different gospels. And it wasn't just the 5,000 men, but if you add children and if you add the women and the children, it's probably about 10,000, over 10,000 people that were being fed from that little packed lunch. Pretty awesome, isn't it? And so God did want to provide and did provide food for this crowd of people. But God had a lesson that he wanted the disciples to learn. And I think actually there's a lesson for us here today for us to learn. Have you ever been faced with something that you thought was just too big and impossible for you to do? I think probably at some point in our lives, all of us have. something that seemed impossible, too big, too challenging, overwhelming. It was impossible for us to be able to do that in our own strength. And you know what? I think you're not alone if you felt like that. So many people in the Bible, many times throughout the Bible, there are instances where people were faced with situations and problems and difficulties that seemed overwhelming. But the great thing is that God has and had a plan. Isn't that great? God's got a plan. He's got a plan for whatever you're facing and whatever you're challenged with. God has a plan. He's in control. We sang words there about his in control. And I was singing that, I was saying, thank you, God, that you're in control. It's not about me having to work it all out. And guys, it's not about you having to work it all out and put this thing in place and this thing in place. It's out. What are we depending upon? Are we trusting in God to come through for us? Or are we trying to work it out in our own wisdom, our own strength? Are we worrying? Are we stressed? Are we kind of just taking things into our own hands? And I think that was the lesson that Jesus, apart from providing food for 10,000 people, I think one of the lessons that he wanted to teach them was about who were the disciples actually looking to for the solution to the problems. So the backdrop to this is that the crowd were listening to Jesus. Ali and I have been to Israel, and we've kind of been there in Galilee, and we've been, and it's amazing to be there and to see the geography of the land, and just to see and just think, wow, this is maybe where Jesus was. And we were up on the hill, and we could hear people down on the lake talking, and all the stuff that's in the Bible comes alive. And so the backdrop is that there's this crowd, they're listening to Jesus, and it starts to get late, and the disciples were concerned, and they say to Jesus, send them away so that they can go and grab something to eat. Send them to the spa, and then they can grab something, and then they can, you know, like just get a sandwich and then come back. Matthew 14 verse 15 says, as the evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy some food. And I think the disciples were looking at the situation, and it was a sensible thing to do. But Jesus isn't always about doing sensible things. Do you know that? Sometimes we think this is the right thing to do, and God said, actually, no, I want you to do something else. And and so they were looking at the situation, and it was a sensible thing to do. And then Jesus replied to them something that I think shocked them, and I think I probably would have struck fear in me. He didn't say, yeah, that's a good idea, you send them away. It says there in Matthew 14, verse 16, Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. You can imagine that. It's like, I mean, if I had a packed lunch, I wouldn't be able to feed you guys here. But there's 10,000 people, and Jesus says to him, you give them something to eat. It must have sounded really absurd, really like, what is Jesus talking about? You do something about it. And so Jesus did, he didn't just do the miracle for them at that point. He poses a question to them. I mean, who in their right mind would say to disciples, you go and feed 10,000 people, and they've got nothing to eat. I can imagine them looking at each other like, how are we gonna do this? It was something that was beyond their ability to do naturally. And the task that he was asking them to do was actually beyond their ability. I've been in those situations before. What? God, if you don't come through now, I'm going to fall flat on my face. If you don't come through now, how is this going to work out? And so John 6, verse 5 and 6, it says, then when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming to him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. God had a plan. God had a plan. He's got a plan.
over your life, over the challenges that you're facing, the difficulties that you're going through, the things that look impossible. How is this going to work out? How is this person going to come to faith? How is God going to provide for me? I don't know where the provision is going to come from. God's got a plan for you. And, you know, when Jesus said to them, "You provide," do you know what? I think that he was testing them to see how they would react and respond in the moment. Where were they going to run to? You know, and where do we run to when we're faced with challenges? When you're faced with challenges, you're stressed out. I'm sure none of you get stressed out. But where do we run to when we are faced with difficulties, problems, things that look overwhelming? What's our reaction? You know, what I think Jesus wanted them how to respond was, "God, please help us. You step in. You help us to provide this food." And I don't know about you, and if I'm honest, I know that I don't always respond in the best way when I get under pressure. And actually, we know really what we believe is when we're under pressure and things aren't going well and we actually maybe can't see how things are going to pan out, that's when actually is revealed in our hearts what truly is going on. Is our response, "God, I trust you," even, and we sang that there, "Even I'm going to praise you. Even when I don't feel like it, even when things don't look like they're going to work out, I'm going to praise you." Or am I pacing up and down in the middle of the night, freaking out? And I've done that before, if I'm honest. But you know what God wants is a simple response of faith to him. "God, I can't do it. I'm weak. In my weakness, I want your power to be made perfect." Yeah. And it's where's our dependency? Who are we looking to do the things that we cannot do? God does the things that we cannot do. And so these disciples, it's interesting because these disciples, they had followed him, they had lived with him, they had traveled with him. They had seen Jesus do incredible miracles firsthand. We're not going to look at these scriptures, but in Matthew 8, this is an incredible list of miracles. Jesus healed a leper. He also healed a centurion's servant without seeing him. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, and many people that were demon-possessed were set free. Jesus calmed the storm, and he healed two demon-possessed men. And then in Matthew 9, that's just in one chapter, Matthew 9, Jesus healed a paralyzed man, a woman that was sick for 12 years. He restored the life of a young girl who had died. Incredible. I mean, imagine walking with Jesus and seeing these incredible miracles and people getting saved and delivered and coming back from the dead. Just incredible miracles. And then in Matthew 10, Jesus sends out his disciples and he gives them authority to go out and drive out demons and to heal every disease and sickness. He imparts that to them, and they went out and they prayed with the power and authority, and they saw God doing miracles through them. So there was a lot that they had experienced and seen. And then so finally we come to Matthew 14, and here they are. They've journeyed with Jesus all of this time, and they ought to have known who Jesus was and what he could do, yet they tried to work out in their own strength how they were going to sort this problem out. And you know, for Jesus to say to them, you go and provide food, if you imagine what they've been through, what they'd seen, and what their faith level should have been in terms of trusting Jesus, it wasn't such a ridiculous thing for them to do. But would they turn to Jesus, or would they try to work out the problem for themselves? That was the issue. They go and do this thing that is impossible for you to do. There's a moment where they had to make a decision. Are they going to look to Jesus and trust him, or are they going to try to work it out themselves? And that's the lesson for us. It's a simple lesson.
And, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, became Christian when I was 8. And it's just, isn't the Christian life just a journey of constantly growing, maturing, understanding the heart of God, God dealing with stuff in our lives? We never get to the end of discovering this relationship with God. And I think probably until the day that we die, there'll be a process that's continuing on in our lives. So guys, don't harden your hearts to say, actually, I'm there yet. I don't need God to be continually working in my life. No, guys, all of us, we need that. And let's be surrendered and submitted to God. And, you know, when Jesus spoke to them, he didn't test them to grade them. He already knew, actually, what was going on in their hearts. He tests them to see, are they going to be depending on themselves or depending to God? So I've got a two-point sermon this morning, and I'm going to start on point one, and point two is very quick, and then we'll finish, okay? And then we can get home to our roast dinners or whatever we've got. Barbecue. Bryce, anybody, what has anybody else got going on for lunch? Anything else exciting? Any invites? Yes, okay. okay, so point number one is look to God. So we're talking about dependency. We're talking about who we're relying upon. First point is look to God. Look to God. Don't measure a problem by your ability. I've got this huge, big problem, and I've got no resources. Well, that's good, because actually in your weakness, his power is made perfect. So don't measure a problem by our abilities. You know, walking with God is about continually trusting him to do what we can't do. That's why he's God. Isn't that's I mean, he there is no limits to what he can do. And I know in the room here, people are facing some big issues in terms of job and finances and other things. Big challenges. But don't measure your problem by your ability to solve it. We're talking about dependence upon him, falling upon him, saying, God, come and have your way. And, you know, as Stuart was saying, you know, God's whispering to you, you can do it. Hold on. I'm with you. Don't give up. Continue on. Keep climbing. Keep moving. Keep on the journey. You'll get there. Don't give up. So we all need to hear that. And I think God is continually challenging us to don't trust in yourself. And, you know, for many, that's a big thing. I want to take control. I want to work it all out. But actually, don't trust in yourself. Trust him. Trust in what he can do, not what we can do. Simple message. But actually, it's such a critical thing for us to get hold of, to increasingly more and more rely upon him. And, you know, sometimes God puts us in impossible situations so that our faith in him is stretched and is tested. So just, you know, you may be, as I say, facing a challenge or a problem. And in that, if the response is right, God's going to build character. God's going to build something in you. If the response is, God, I trust you in this. I don't know how this is going to work out. I can't do it on my own. The task or the challenge is too much, but I'm going to trust you. I believe that you will never fail me, and I'm going to put my faith and my trust in you. So actually in going through this situation, I want to see your purposes being worked out in my life. So what are you facing right now? In such times, we learn that we aren't enough, but he always is. We're not enough, but he always is. We're not enough. We can't do it, but he always does. He always will. He can, and he's the miracle worker. Amen. So trust him, guys.
And I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying give yourselves over to the process. Actually, if we're honest, what's the other option? That we're just going to be stressed out. And we're actually going to make a mess of it. Who do we think that we are that we can do an even better job than God? And sometimes we go through life like that. It's crazy. But we aren't enough, but he always is. And I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you felt helpless, where you can do nothing, where your only hope is in God. And I've been, and I'm sure all of us have been in those places before. We're thrust into a state of helplessness so that we know that actually God is the only one that can help. And it's interesting when you look at the disciples' response. We see when Jesus said to them, you go and feed the crowd. First of all, they tried to resolve the problem on their own. Okay, let's get together. Let's have a brainstorming session. Let's, we'll try and work it. That's not what Jesus wanted them to do. But here they are. And it says in John 6, verse 7, Philip answered them. He's looking at the situation. He said it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread. You know, so you're strategizing. That person needs a sandwich. That person wants a wrap. That one wants a pasty. Trying to work it all out. It's like, this is like half a year's worth of money. You know, why is he even trying to do that? Why is he trying to work it out in his own strength? And then Andrew, he does something a bit more practical. He looked around and he found a boy with a packed lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Matthew 14, verse 19 says, and as he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves, and he gave it to his disciples. This is Jesus, and gave it to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. That was the turning point. God, they recognized actually this was impossible for them to do, and they bought this small offering and said, God, can you bless it? Can you use what we have? But you actually need to do the miracle. We can't do it, but we are going to bring to you what we have for you to bless. As I say, don't measure a problem by your abilities and resources, but don't underestimate what God can do with the little that we bring to him. The little that we have to offer might seem crazy in terms of the challenge and the problem and the thing that we're facing. But that reliance on God. God, I can't do it. I need you to step in, to break through for me. I can't do this on my own. I'm not going to battle it anymore. I'm not going to try to do stuff in my own effort. But God, I'm going to bring to you what I have. And I know that you are the God that takes something so small and insignificant and makes it into something beautiful, powerful. You will do what I cannot do. That's a good motto to have in life. So what do you have that you can offer and bring to God? Whatever it is, he will take those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiply them into something beautiful. What can you bring? What can you offer to God? Actually, don't hold anything back from God. People sitting here that you're probably thinking, I've got nothing to bring. I don't want you to say that. I don't want anybody here in the CLC family to say that, actually, I've got nothing to offer. I'm not important. And what difference am I going to make? What is the point? I don't want anybody to say that, because that is not how God sees you. God sees that every single one of you have got so much that you can bring and offer. Even if it's just a small little gift laid before God, God can multiply that into something beautiful. And you know what? If you don't bring it and you hold it back, you're not only robbing us, but you're robbing God. You're robbing the family of God from something so beautiful. So bring what you have. Bring the smile. Bring your ability to make a cup of tea. Bring your ability to host. Bring your ability to evangelize. Bring your whatever it is, bring what you have and offer it, however little, meager it
it may seem. But God's in the habit of taking something insignificant and making something powerful and something beautiful. That's the nature of who God is. So when you're faced with a challenge, don't look at the size of the challenge and look at your own abilities and say it's impossible. Don't look at yourself is the message that Jesus is trying to say. A group of students were given a quiz in a cooking class. How long should a 1 kilo beef roast stay in a 160 degree oven for the center to reach a temperature of 60 degrees? That is for it to be cooked to medium. One student did an experiment, a series of experiments. Another went out and bought some beef and used an oven and a thermometer and a watch. Another one went into the library and got out a spreadsheet, did some calculations on the conductivity of roast beef. Wow. And tried to figure it all out. But the one boy who got the quickest answer was the one that picked up the phone and called his dad, who worked as a chef. How do I cook roast beef so that it's medium? What are we depending upon, and who are we depending upon? Are you depending upon your own abilities, your own resources, your own intelligence, your own skills? Where is your faith being placed? Is it in what you can do to work things out? Or actually, is God saying, actually, there needs to be a shift to actually become more reliant upon me? I think one of the messages from this story is about we need to trust God more. We need to press into God. We need to lean on Jesus. We need to offer him what we have. And then we need to rest in the assurance that God actually is going to come through for us. Matthew 14, 19, 20. You still with me?
Yeah,
just going to be another few minutes, then we'll wrap up. Matthew 14, 19 and 20. It said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up into heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. And when he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and they were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. The disciples saw the food being multiplied as they distributed, as they gave it out. It was a miracle that was happening. And it was a miracle that actually God was doing through their hands as they partnered with God. They couldn't do it, but they bought what they had, gave it to Jesus. He did the miracle, but then they were involved in the miracle taking place. And if God performed the miracle, he could have stopped at any point when everybody was fed. And I was thinking about this. I don't know if they had a portion controller. You know, someone going around that you can have one piece. Not two, just one. Or maybe it was like an all-you-can-eat buffet. Go for it, he said. Go for it. Eat as much as you like. Be satisfied. I don't know how things were distributed. I think there are definitely some people here that like a all-you-can-eat buffet. Was that you, Patrick? It was. Oh, no. It was Alistair. Okay. But you don't mind it as well. Okay, like that. There you go. Yeah, I don't know if there was a portion controller. But actually, God blessed the people with more and more, with more than enough to eat. It says that they were satisfied, and there was still food left over. So God didn't provide what was just barely enough, but he was gracious and generous, and there was enough for everybody. So, and just quickly, my last point is don't limit God. Don't limit God to what he can do. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, And take this as a promise. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So he can do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, Or imagine, this is the God that we are trusting in. This is the God that we are saying, God, I can't do it, but you can. He can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And you know what? We limit God and put limitations on what he can do when we doubt that he will provide and that he will come through for us. We limit God when we worry and fear for our needs. We limit God sometimes because of our unbelief. So God, I pray today, Lord, please help us. Strengthen us. Strengthen me. Strengthen each and every one of us. Help us in our unbelief. Help us in those times of stress. Help us in those times where we're up against the wall and cannot see how you will break through. Help us. Strengthen us, Lord, to understand that in our weakness, your power is made perfect. Move, God, by your Spirit upon each and every one of us. Help us. We find it hard to trust him, and sometimes we revert to trying to solve our problems ourselves. But actually, and what happens then is normally we try to do our thing, and then we just go the full circle and we just come back, don't we, to eventually saying, help me. And I think actually God wants us to not go the long way around, but just go for the shortcut. Go straight for the God, would you help me? So let me just wind up. What can we learn from the story of the feeding of the 5,000? Yes, amazing miracle, but there's more to what Jesus was wanting to teach them about dependency, about reliance. How are we going to overcome this problem? So number one, look to God and trust him. Don't measure a problem, the size of the problem, with your ability to sort it. It's not going to work. You have no ability. You have no strength. He's the one that's going to come through. And don't limit God. Don't limit God to being constrained because of our response to him. He can do immeasurably more. He can do it. He will do it. There are no limits to what he can do. He can do immeasurably more beyond what we can ask or imagine. And you know, the beautiful thing is the more that we're reliant upon Jesus, the more like him we are and the more we reflect him to the world. So in our weakness, in our surrenderedness, in our submittedness to him, sometimes in our brokenness, his power is made more perfect. His power is made perfect in us. In our weakness, we can be strong. Simple message. But when you're faced with those challenges, let's reach out for God to bring the breakthrough on our behalf rather than us trying to battle it out. And let's come as people that are trusting and pressing into him for the breakthrough and for the miracle. Should we just close our eyes? Let's just close our eyes. I just wanted to say, if there's anybody here today, you're not a Christian, or you've turned away from God and you need to come back to him to recommit your life. You know, there's some most incredible promises in the Bible for you. And God's love today is reaching out to you. God's mercy is reaching out to you today. God's compassion for you to be his child, for you to know what it is to be forgiven, for you to experience what it is to have shame, guilt, the weight of sin lifted off you. That's God's heart for you today. And Ali said it earlier, but the beautiful promise is, as far as the east is from the west, he will remove our sin. The Bible says that he will wash our sins as white as snow. Those things that we're embarrassed about, those things that are depress us, those things that keep us separated from God. The Bible says that if we will simply just come and recognize our need of a Savior, he will wash those things away. And we don't have to live burdened by those things anymore. It's just an incredible promise from God. So I just want to pray a simple prayer this morning before we respond to God as a congregation. But if there's anybody here today, and you say, actually, yeah, I want to recommit my life, or I want to give my life afresh, I want to give my life even for the first time, would you pray this simple prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you died on a cross so that I could be forgiven. Today I ask you to come into my life. I want to dedicate and give my life to you. I want to repent. I want to turn away from my sin. I want to live from this moment on as your child. And I thank you by faith that you've heard my prayer, that you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from every sin, everything that I've done wrong. You have the power to do that. And I receive that today by faith. I thank you that I'm now your child, that you know me, that my eternity is assured. Thank you for your great love. Thank you that I'm now your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we just stand together, and maybe the band can come, and it would be great. Maybe we can just have a time to pray for anybody, minister, just come alongside you. Maybe you've been struggling with, with some issue that you've really just, just felt that you've been struggling on your own. But actually you want to see God break through to a greater degree in your life. Maybe you've been struggling with the idea of true reliance upon God. Maybe you've been struggling with trusting God. Maybe you've been struggling with confidence that actually God is even considering your situation. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to minister to you, or if there's anything else. And I think actually every single one of us in some way can respond to needing greater faith in terms of trusting God for the things that we're facing. So I think we're just going to you guys can just do a song, and maybe some of the leaders can just come out, and then we can, if there's anybody that would like to be prayed for, we'd love just to pray and minister to you. Is that okay? Yeah. And Father, we just want to ask, Lord, that you would break open something, Lord, that you would break into situations, Lord, that you would stir faith, that, Lord, hope would come to people, God, that have struggled for so long. Lord, I pray that you would come and move, and that you would, Lord, build faith, you would fill afresh, Lord, those of us that Lord, need a touch from you, God, that you would move afresh upon each of these precious people. And come, Holy Spirit, come and move. Come and move in this time. We just give ourselves to you. So if you'd like some prayer around any of those issues or anything else, please come forward, and I'm going to hand over to Andrew.
Steve. That was very encouraging. I'm sure there are those amongst us who are responding, need to respond. So encourage you. If we could, we just love to stand with you in prayer. Come forward. Let's give you a couple of moments to